Luke chapter number 2. But if you've been keeping up, and I did not plan all of this, but I have preached several messages now. Sorry, I turned my mic, the other mic on. Preached several messages now out of Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter number 2. And I've just been reading and going over this, and I have thought in my mind that I wanted to go on just a little bit further in Luke chapter number 2. I want us to read this morning in verses Luke chapter 2, verse number 40, down through verse number 52. And we're continuing on in the young life of the Lord Jesus. And we come now to a unique passage of Scripture. You only find this in Luke. It is not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, or John. And so we find this in Luke chapter number 2 when Jesus was 12 years old. Verse number 40, the Bible said, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Let's pray. Lord, we do come today, and I thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I realize that in and of myself, I'm not able to do or say anything that'll be a help or a blessing to anybody. And Lord, I need your help today. I pray for the power and the help of the Holy Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. I pray for liberty to preach thy word. I pray for freedom. I pray the word of the Lord would have free course. I pray that nothing would hinder in the service today, but that the Holy Spirit of God could just speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that your word would change us for your honor and for your glory, and that you would just have your way in this service today. We have a lot of things that we're praying about. Lord, you know each and every heart. You know those that are sick, those that would love to be here, but they're just not able to today, whether it's sickness or traveling or whatever the case might be. But Lord, I'm thankful to be in your house today, and I'm thankful for all the love that we're surrounded by. Thank you for our church family, our families, our friends. Lord, we ask that you would just bless us and help us in this new year. And I pray that you'd just have your way today. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, we're going to go back and we're going to read, just to start with today, verse 41 and verse number 42. Notice what the Bible says in this passage of Scripture. It says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." Now, last night, I guess it was yesterday afternoon, last night, Kim and Abigail, they have been getting out picture albums and family pictures, and there's 4 or 5 big boxes in the living room, and just every few minutes last night they'd come along and look at this, and looking at all these pictures, they're gathering together to
put a little slide presentation and put some pictures on the board for the funeral tomorrow. And so they've been digging around and doing all that, and I noticed there's all kinds of pictures that they've been bringing out. Baby pictures, birthdays growing up, families, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, old pictures, recent pictures, Christmas, vacations, holidays, everything. Everything. And it's been sort of fun to look back over the pictures. You know how it is. You look back and remember things you'd forgotten about, and then you learn some things that you didn't know before. You see some things in pictures that you've never seen before. And most families are like that. Most of us at our house, we've got picture albums. We've got shoe boxes full of pictures. Some of you young people may not realize it, but we've not always had cell phones. But I'd say now we take more pictures than ever before. I mean, you can't go anywhere that somebody's not taking pictures, posting pictures, and we are a picture-taking society, no doubt about that. And pictures are good things. They help us to remember. They help us to see and learn about our history. And so pictures are good things, no doubt about that. But I want us to look in the Word of God this morning, and between verse number 40 and between verse number 52, this is interesting to me as we think about it and look back in the Bible. There's only one family picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. I mean, when He was growing up. From the time of Him being an infant until the time when He's about 30 years old, there's only one family picture in the Bible. There's only one picture. And when we get past the what we've been studying and preaching about, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that in-between period from an infant to an adult, God in His wisdom, in His Word, only left us one family picture where we find Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And that picture is here in these verses that we've read about this morning. And what I want to try to preach on today, I want to try to preach on the subject of family pictures. Think about that. God only gave us one picture. If you could go back through all of your pictures and you could only choose one picture to represent all of your childhood, what picture would it be? I mean, for us, there's thousands and thousands probably of pictures that we could choose from. But God in His Word only put one picture. There's no birthday. There's no there's no grandma's, grandpa's, school pictures of the Lord Jesus. I mean, I'm sure He had an interesting life growing up. There's a lot of things we'd like to know about Jesus. But God only put one picture in the Bible. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We've all heard the phrase that one picture is worth a thousand words. You're probably saying, surely you're not going to preach a thousand words this morning. But really, a thousand spoken words goes pretty quick. But there's a lot we can learn from this passage of Scripture. And what I want us to do, you ever saw, been to an art gallery, and you know they'll have all the pictures on the wall, and a lot of places they'll have a bench in front of that picture, and that's so people can go and they can stand in front of that picture and they can look at it. They can meditate upon it. They can think about it, really take it in, and try to learn what the artist, the message of the artist is. And I want us to try to do that this morning. I want us to set before this picture, and I want us to meditate upon it and think about it and pray and ask that the Holy Spirit of God would really show us what is in this family portrait, this family picture that we find of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me point out some things, probably five or six things I want us to try to see this morning, praying that the Lord would speak to our hearts. First of all, we go back to verse number 41 down through verse number 43, and I see that this is a picture of service in this family. The Bible said, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And so we pick out some things out of these verses that we could say about it, that it's a picture of their service to the Lord. Look what it says in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. What we can learn about Mary and Joseph and the family that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised in is that they were a faithful family. I've got it underlined in my Bible that they went to the feast of the Passover every year. Every year. That means when Jesus was a baby, when he was a toddler, when he was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, every year they were faithful to the things of God. I look in the next verse, in verse 42, and it reminds me that they were consistent in the things of the Lord. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. They were consistent. They were faithful in what they were doing. They were not a hit and miss type of family. Verse number 43, they were serious about their service to the Lord. The Bible said, and when they had fulfilled the days. Now, they went up to this feast every year. They were faithful to do that. They were consistent in their observing the ways of the Lord. They fulfilled all the days. What we find here, year after year, this little family, we find them serving the Lord. We find that if you do anything year after year after year, it takes sacrifice in order to do that. I mean, they could have said, well, let's just skip it this year. The economy's bad. We don't have enough money. You know, there's always an excuse not to do something that you don't want to do anyway. But I look in the Word of God and I find that faithfully, year after year, time after time, they sacrificed. They invested in their family, in their worship of the Lord. They invested with their finances. I find that they put the time in. They put the effort in to do these things. Mary and Joseph are like the Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Don't think today that it doesn't matter what you do while they're little. Don't think today that, oh, when my children get up a little bit older, we'll do this and we'll do that for the Lord. No, you won't. If you won't drag them while they're kicking and screaming and having to have their diapers changed and everything else, if you won't take them then, you're probably not going to go when it gets easier, because you've already got out of the habit of doing that. Mary and Joseph, they brought Jesus, his brothers, all his family up. They brought him, and he did have other brothers, as you read and study in the Word of God. They had other family, and they brought them up in the things of the Lord. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Now, a train has to have a motivator. A train has to have an engine. A train has to have power. It's got to have the lead car. You know, the steam engine is the one where the power is. They hook all the others behind that one. Parents, your children are going to follow you. You're the steam engine. You're the lead car. You are to train up your children, which means you go in the way that you're supposed to go and they're supposed to come along behind you. Train them up in the way they should go. And as they go, as they grow, they'll know the way. They'll know what to do. They'll know which way to go because they've been following you. That's a great responsibility upon parents. It's a great responsibility upon leaders in the church. It's a great responsibility upon the pastors and the Sunday school teachers. Train up a child. And we find them doing that very thing, serving the Lord. They're not cutting corners. The Bible said in verse 43, they fulfilled the days. They stayed every day Every day that they had church, every day that they had service down there in Jerusalem, they stayed all those days. They were not cutting out early. They didn't say, we got to get back to Nazareth. Jesus has Little League. They fulfilled all the days. I'm not saying don't be involved in Little League, but I am preaching and I'm teaching our children there's some things that come before Little League. And everything else that the world's got to offer that's out there. They weren't cutting out early. They were not a family that was just going through the motions to look the part. You see, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in that oh, there's certain things we need to do in order to look the part. But they weren't just doing that. Mary and Joseph, as they raised the Lord Jesus Christ, they're the real deal. I was talking with a man the other day, and he was talking about how he was raised in church, and we talked about that verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and now he's raising his children, and we're raising our children. Well, 2/3 of them's raised. We're still raising children, and we were talking about how much do you push them? He asked the question about taking children to church. How much do you push them? And I said this, we don't push them, we lead them. We lead them as we've raised our children, going to church, serving the Lord, all of these things. This is not something we do. I hope this is something we are. That's just what we are. This is how we live our lives. We are not to conform to the ways of the world. We're to transform. Now, if you're trying to fit in the mold of the world, that's very easy to do. But God calls on us to be transformed, to be different from the world. This is how we are. This is what we do. We go to church. We serve the Lord. We pray. We read the Word of God. We ask the Lord to lead us. We ask the Lord to guide us. Now, if you think that today, well, the preacher does that. Of course, he takes his family to church. That's his job. I don't look on what I do as a job. I don't do what I do because I have to. I do what I do, and we raise our children the way we do because we want to. It's the best way. I look at myself and my life as being very privileged that God has called me to do something, and He gifts us to do what He calls us to do, and then He lets us do it. Man, what a blessing that is. But you know, I was living for the Lord before God called me to preach, and I'm not lifting myself up. I'm nothing. I've got a long ways to go, but a lot of times people look at a pastor, they look at a preacher, and they say, well, they're different. No, we have the same struggles, the same trials, the same pull that everybody else does, but it boils down to this. People do what they want to do. If you want to serve the Lord and you want to be there, you'll be there. And if you don't, you'll be home sitting watching TV. Or you'll be out hiking or whatever, everything else there is to do. People do what they want to do. And you know what I notice this is, as I look at this family picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, I see parents and children doing what they wanted to do, but they're serving the Lord. And they're faithful and they're consistent and they're grateful in all of these things. It's a picture of service. Look on down. Number 2 today, it's a picture of supposing. Find that word supposing in here. Look at verse number 43, what the Bible says. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now, verse number 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company. Now, I've looked at this a whole lot and thought about it. That means that they had traveled at least one full day. And as I studied this out, what I believe happened was, after that traveling a one full day, they traveled a day's journey. They didn't really miss that the Lord Jesus Christ was not with them until the end of that day, and they've traveled as far as light would let them, and they're going to make camp for the night, and they're probably, everybody's stopped, everybody's unpacking a few things, starting a little fire, going to make a little supper, going to get cleaned up down by the river, down by the creek or whatever, and you know, they're getting ready to set up camp for the night. When the Bible says that they had traveled a day's journey, that means how far can you travel in a day in company? It's not one person going as far as they can, as fast as they can. But what we have here is a picture of a bunch of people traveling together in company. They probably still made over 20 miles. Now you mamas, how are you going to feel if you're 20 miles away from your 12-year-old, or you don't know where they are? There'd be a little bit of a panic set in, wouldn't there? I mean, a day's journey to us, we're going to be 400 or 500 miles down the road in a car. You'd be panicking. They stopped for the night. They're breaking out a little campfire. They're settling in, going to eat a little supper, and somebody gets to looking around, and probably it was Mary. And the Bible said that they supposed him to be, they thought he was just with everybody else. But they get to looking around. Cousin Benjamin, Jesus' friend, comes by, and you know, they're together and about the same age, or maybe it was John. Mary says, will you go get Jesus and tell him to come over here, and we're getting ready to have supper in our little family here. And he says, yeah, I'll go find him, but I don't know where he is, but I'll go look for him. He comes back in a little while, and he says, Aunt Mary or Cousin Mary or whatever, and I couldn't find him anywhere. Well, I thought he was with you. No, I've been with them boys over there, and you know, I was traveling with Uncle Eli, and you know, and man, all of a sudden, you know, where's Jesus at? I thought it was with you. I thought it was you. He's your son. You ought to know where he is. Well, last time I seen him, and can you imagine what went on? I mean, they thought he was with somebody. That's what the Bible says. They, supposing him, they thought he was along with everybody else. There's a lot of them together. That's what the Bible says in verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company. But it was not just Mary and Joseph that missed him. Nobody missed him. And it says in their kinsfolk, verse 44, that means aunts, uncles, cousins, maybe grandma, grandpa, I don't know how many, but their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Of all the people they were traveling with, nobody miss Jesus. Now, when we take the young people somewhere, we all get in the van. They're not all my kids, but I count. You know, when we get in, there's 12 of us. When we go and we get out of the van and we get back in, we count again. They're not my kids, but I feel sort of responsible for them, you know. But nobody, don't be too hard on Mary and Joseph. Nobody had missed that the Lord Jesus Christ was gone on that day. And there's a real lesson here. The lesson for us is this: it is possible for us to go days without Jesus. It is possible for us to go weeks. It's possible for us to go months and even years without the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is this: in our lives, we tend to get busy. Don't we say that all the time? I'm so busy, I don't know if I'm coming or going. I'm so busy, I can't remember what I even came in here for. We get busy in our lives. We get distracted from what's really important. We become careless about our spiritual lives. We become caught up with something that is going on out here in the world or our family. And the next thing you know, we look around in our lives and we begin to wonder, where's Jesus at? Where's the Lord at in my life? What I mean by that is this: I'm not saying that He leaves us, but I'm saying we tend to get busy and distracted and we forget about Him. It's not the Lord's fault, it's our fault. I mean, think about it. Do you go through the week sometimes and you don't speak to Him? You get busy and you've not prayed. You've not spoken to Him. You've not heard from Him. How do we hear from God? We hear from God through His Word. When we pray, we speak to Him. When we read the Bible, He speaks to us. But sometimes you can be regular even in reading your Bible, but you are so thinking about what's to do next that really you read it, but He didn't really speak to you. And so you didn't really hear from Him. You supposing Him to be there. You see what I'm saying this morning? You've not spoke to Him. You've not heard from Him. You went through your whole day, your whole week maybe. You've been so busy and distracted, you've not thought of Him. You've not felt His presence in your life. Don't be hard on Mary and Joseph. We do the same thing. We just suppose that He's around. We've actually paid no close attention in our lives whether He was really there or not. That's how they were. They're supposing. We do a lot of supposing in our lives. But let me ask you this morning, where's the Lord in your life? Can you look around and find where Jesus is? That's what they did. All of a sudden they noticed, where's Jesus at? Where's Jesus at? I haven't seen Him today. You haven't seen Him either. I thought He was you. I thought He was with you. Everybody missed Him. A church can go. We can come and we can have service and we can go through the motions and actually the Lord's not anywhere around. But we just suppose that He's there because we're here. There's a supposing in this picture. Number three this morning, there is a seeking in this picture. Look at verse 45. The Bible said, and when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem. And notice what the Bible says, seeking Him. Now, nobody said, oh, I know where He's at. He's back there in the temple. The Bible says they turned back seeking Him. That means from that point backwards, they were looking for Him. Now, let's think about it this morning. If the Lord Jesus was missing, where could He be found? And they were asking the same question. Where is He? Where is He? He's not with us. We've traveled a full day's journey. It was probably so late and so dark they had to spend the night and probably started back immediately first thing in the morning, looking for the Lord Jesus, seeking Him along the way. And what would you do as a parent and you're backtracking? You would stop everywhere you'd been. Where were we yesterday? Where were we? We've got to find Jesus. They turned back to Jerusalem seeking Him. And so first thing they did, oh, there's that watering hole where we stopped and we had lunch yesterday. And remember, some of the kids was out there swimming and getting wet and all like that. And so they go back and that's where they go to. And all along the way, they're looking, they're seeking Him. And they meet somebody coming. Hey, we're looking for a little 12-year-old boy and he's about that tall and he looks like this. And they're asking people and they're looking and they go back and they go back. Jesus is not there. They go back to the scenic overlook. You know, when you're traveling, you got to stop at places like that. And that's what they were doing. And so when we're out on the parkway and we're flying down the road and we find one that you can see over, and I'll whip it in there real quick. And we'll get out and we'll look like this and get back in the car and go on down the road. You know, and that, so they went back and they said, where did we go? Where are we going? And we stopped there. And as they were going out of Jerusalem, they stopped at the donkey filling station. You know, everywhere. They stopped at a little store. They stopped to get some hay. They stopped to buy some bread and some cheese and something like that. And they're seeking Him. And they're going back and they're looking where they had lunch and where they stopped. And they get all the way back into Jerusalem and they go back to the inn that they stayed in. It was common in those days. Or maybe they stayed at somebody's house and they went back and they said, what are y'all doing back here? You just left yesterday. 2 days ago now, we can't find our little boy. We're looking for Jesus. Is He here? They went to the cafe. They went to the marketplace. They looked and they looked and they looked all over the place seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. And you know what? This morning, a lot of times when we start looking for the Lord Jesus, we are looking, but we're looking in the wrong places. They were looking in all the wrong places. It said they turned back seeking Him. Looking all along the way. Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? Where's Jesus at? People look for the Lord a lot of times, but they're looking in the wrong places. I get so tired. I hear it all the time. Well, I don't go to church. We watch somebody on television. You know, last Sunday we didn't have church because it's so cold and snowy and everything, and that's what we did. I found the best preacher I could find on TV, and we sat there and we watched it, and I got something out of it. I don't know if anybody else did or not. I mean, it's pretty good. But compared to coming to God's house with God's people and getting it live, there's no comparison. I mean, just be honest. It's hard to sit there in your pajamas and a cup of coffee. Everybody's fooling with their phone and all that bunch of stuff. And it was all right, but it wasn't church. I don't think I could grow and prosper very much if that was my spiritual life. People say, oh, I watch so-and-so on TV. And people say, I worship God out in nature. I get real distracted out in the woods because I'm looking for deer and bobcats and bear and everything else. I mean, it's all right to go out and I do see God in nature, but that's not how God designed the church. It's not how God designed His redemption in our lives. And God gave pastors and teachers and gave us one another. A lot of times people are looking, but they're looking in the wrong places. Where could we find Jesus, though? Can you see Mary and Joseph, and they're scratching their heads, and they split up, and finally, look what the Bible says in verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, figure this up in your mind, they traveled a full day's journey. Surely by the next day, they made it back to at least the outskirts of Jerusalem, and they messed around a whole nother day after 3 days looking for Him in Jerusalem. That lets me know, I believe with all my heart, they went to the inn, they went to the playground, they went to the cafe, they went to the market, they went everywhere, and finally, they said, let's go down to the temple. I mean, they did go up there to go to the Passover. They were at the temple. It said, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Well, I'll be. They found Jesus in His Father's house. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that a good lesson for us? I want to find the Lord. Let me tell you a good place to find the Lord. You'll find the Lord in his Father's house. That's where he was in verse number 46. And I've heard people say, oh, there's more ways to be faithful than to sit in a pew. Let me tell you what the Bible says, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Well, of course the preacher wants you to go to church. I'm not just preaching you and you ought to go to church message. I'm preaching you what the Bible says. It's no accident that of all the places they sought and they looked for the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is no accident that he was found in the temple. I'm not saying you have to be in church to be saved. I'm not saying you have to be in church to worship the Lord. I'm not saying that church is the only place that God will ever speak to your heart. But I'm saying, according to the pattern in the Bible, it's a real good place. If you want to find the Lord, look in his house. Look in God's house. Look in his Father's house. And so we have church and we come together, but a lot of times we're not seeking him. But there's a seeking in this family picture. I can find Mary and Joseph looking for the Lord. Well, there's a seeking. Well, number four this morning, there's a surprise. Look at verse 47. And all that heard him were astonished. That means they were surprised. Everybody that heard Jesus talking, and these doctors were doctors of Moses' law. They were teachers of their religion. Not a get sick, go to the doctor, but a religious doctor. They were astonished at his understanding and answers. Verse 47, man, they were surprised. They were amazed. This little boy knows a lot about the Lord. They were surprised. And verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. They were surprised when they got to the temple, when they got to God's house, and they heard what Jesus had to say. They were amazed and they wondered. It means they were surprised. If you'll go to God's house and you'll ever really hear what Jesus has to say, it'll amaze and surprise you too. If you go to God's house and hear God's word, you'll hear some amazing, surprising things. You'll find out, like Nicodemus did, that although Nicodemus was religious and moral and good and observant of the law, he found out by the words of the Lord Jesus that he was still lost and that he needed to be born again. You believe that surprised Nicodemus? I believe that it did. Jesus told him, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. That marvel not means don't be surprised. A lot of people have found out when they come to God's house and they heard God's word, they have found out that they're not as good as they thought they were. Because the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we find out in God's house from God's word that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. That surprised a lot of people down through the years. They thought they were good to go, but they found out, like Nicodemus, that Jesus said that even a religious, moral, knowledgeable individual still needs to be born again. There's a lot of amazing things that we find the Lord Jesus Christ said. They were surprised. Look in verse number 49 what the Bible says. Now, this is the only words that we ever are told about that Jesus said up until he started his public ministry. Wow, what? That's bound to be important. It is important. What did he say? What did he say? Verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Wished ye not means didn't you know? You should have known. How was it that you were looking for me? Where did you think I was? Down at the skateboard park? Didn't you know? Don't you know enough by now that I must be about my Father's business? That is the first words that you find in the Bible uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it tell us? It tells us what's important. What's important? My Father's business. He came to do His Father's business. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came on a mission. He came to live a perfect life. He came to die on the cross for our sins. He came to be buried. And thank the Lord, He came to be resurrected on the third day. Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And he lived his whole life in that fashion. What's important? The Father's business. You know the last words he said before he died? He said this, it is finished. First words, I must be about my Father's business. Last words, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. He came to do his Father's business. And that's exactly what he did. But Mary and Joseph were surprised. How is it that you sought me? And the Bible goes on down and it says that they didn't understand all these things. And you know, a lot of times people can go to church a long time and they can hear a lot about the Lord Jesus, but they still don't understand. You know what has to happen? That Spirit of God's got to speak to our heart and reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is our salvation. They were surprised. There's one picture in the Bible of one family picture of the Lord Jesus, and it's all about the Father's business. It's what we learned. There's a surprise there. Number five, I'm quickly going to be done in just a moment. Number five, there's subjection here. Look at verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Now it starts in Jerusalem, verse 41. They come to Nazareth, verse 51. And if you look on a Bible map, that's about 70 miles away. That's a long ways away. They probably weren't even halfway when they found out Jesus wasn't with them. But verse 51 tells us that they all went home together. And the Bible says, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. We have a picture here, a family picture here, of the Lord Jesus being subject unto his parents. Now, you young people, listen to me this morning. Be good for you to get something out of what the preacher said. Now, you parents, I want you to ask your children when you go home, did you get anything out of the message? Did you listen to what Preacher Wynn said? Here's the one thing I want you to listen to. I know you've been listening. But you young people, what kind of young person was Jesus? He was a young person that was subject to his parents. And that means this. He listened to mama and daddy and did what he was told to do. So that's the kind of child that Jesus was. Now let me tell you something. 12 years old, that is right at that time before young people realize that they know everything. You know, when your children are little, mom and dad, you're their hero. When they get to be about 12, 13, 14, then they know everything and mom and dad don't know anything. But here, really, in true life, here is a 12-year-old that does know everything. But he didn't act like he knew everything. He was subject to his mama and his daddy. That just means that he was the type of child that you find in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What is God's will for your life? What right now, as a young person, I'm going to tell you what God's will is for your life. Obey your parents. Even though you think you know more than they do, really you don't. You'll understand all that later on. Life is like this. I don't know anything. I know everything. Then you go along a little bit and you look back where you were and you say, I didn't know anything. But now I know everything. And then you go on a little bit, 2 or 3 years, and you look back And you say, I thought I knew everything, but I didn't know anything. But now I know everything. And then you get to be about 35, 40 years old, and I think from there on out, you just realize, I don't know anything, and I'm going to be real quiet. I'm just going to try to keep my mouth shut, because every time I look back at myself, I realize how foolish I was. And so I'm going to just try from here on out, if you learn anything, that you don't really know anything. And you better listen to the Lord, because He knows everything. Just don't get away from that. He knows. I don't know. I tell people that all the time. You know, I don't know. But the Lord knows. Well, I'd like to have just a little wisdom in this life. And part of being wise is knowing when to keep your mouth shut. And you don't know everything. But the Lord does. There's subjection. One last thing and I'll be done. What do we find in this family portrait? I love this. I see our Savior. Our Savior is in this family picture. 12-year-old, the Lord Jesus, look at verse 41. Now His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. Underline that. First time you find the Lord Jesus, the only family picture, you see Him at the Passover. The last chapters in the life of the Lord Jesus take place. We studied this in the book of Mark, Mark 12, 13, 14. The last steps, the last chapters in Jesus' life, guess when that was? It was the Passover. The Passover is the book ends of the Lord Jesus Christ. First picture, last picture in this, in His earthly life. Why is that? 1 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. He died on the cross for our sins. We are not under the Jewish law. We are not under the Jewish feasts, because Jesus fulfilled all that Old Testament law. I find our Savior. First picture, Passover. Last picture, Passover. The night before He was crucified, that day, that was the Passover day. That's the bookends of His physical life. Of course, we know He lives. He lives today because He rose from the grave the third day. But this is our one family picture that we have of the Lord Jesus. There's a lot to learn about from that picture. There's a lot of things I can take and apply to my life. I can ask myself today, am I like Mary and Joseph? Am I going on in my life days without Jesus? Weeks, months, years? Where's He at? I'll tell you where to find Him. Find Him. Find Him in His Word and find Him in His house. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I very much appreciate your good attention. I hope you got something.